Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
have a shalom, holy angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess tonight. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shem Shai. And I just want to extend a welcome, whether you're joining us for the first time here or whether you're returning and you've listened to our shows in the past. Here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives. I look at how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. And some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life and how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks I'm doing more exercises, practical implementations. Many times right now I've got guests on the show, like tonight. And, of course, the guests that I bring on also have some aspect of their work that deals with compassion as well, and it allows you to grow and develop through their work and learn of different techniques and practices that are being used out there. Occasionally, once in a while, I have a call-in coaching night where people can call in and share what's happening in their lives and get some coaching help through that. And oftentimes, I also have some musical guests on the show. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we had Stephen Halpern on, great artist, Grammy nominee. And if you happen to miss that show, that's a great one to go back and catch in the archives. And all of our shows here are actually archived, and it's very easy to find them. On my website is one area to do that, jessieannicholsgeorge1.com, and that's at the bottom of the show description with that. So it's really easy to find those archived shows. Here also in my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I created the Genesis Clearing Statement. Some of you have experienced that through our shows in the past. If you've missed it, that's one to go back and look at in the archives. I've also authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And I'm working to see what I'm putting together for 2013. I'm still letting it brew, see where my intuition is leading me on that. And you can follow the events that are available to register for as they come up for the Compassion Tour at jessieannicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. So any events that are available to register for will be put up there. And there's also an option there called gifting the tour, and that's for those people, maybe you're unable to attend any of the events, but you'd still like to support the work I'm doing, help me get out to some fundraising events, things like that, and you can actually gift any amount that you choose there under that option. Now, just a reminder, if you enjoy the show tonight, make certain that you're telling your friends, your family, share it with your social media buddies out there, significant others, anybody that you feel might benefit from this show, or just putting it out there. Sometimes you never know. Somebody's going through something, and they see the title of the show, and they think, wow, that's really going to be something useful for me. And hopefully you will feel motivated to share it with other people. And for people that want to come back and listen to it in the archives, they can just use the same link to get into the show that you did. And, again, they can also go to two different places, my website, Jessie Ann Nichols George 1, that's the number 1.com. Also, they can go to my Activating Compassion Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes, and all of the archived shows, as well as archived interviews that I've done in the past, where other people have interviewed me, are located there too. So lots of options for you. Now, as many of you know, I do like to start my show by delving into the book, The 72 Names of God, Technology for the Soul, by Yehuda Berg. And Yehuda is absolutely wonderful in his work, versed with the Kabbalah. As many of you know, I love Yehuda's work because it's put into everyday language. It's the way I write my books as well, bringing it into ways and things that you can do to implement in your everyday life. And every week what I like to do is open up this book and find a message, because it's always amazing to me. The message always seems to apply to our guest, and this kind of gives us a thought for the week. So it gives us something to focus on, think about, and this message is also posted on my website as well, on my Jesse Ann Nichols George page, which is part of the Main Street Universe tab. And let's see what we've got tonight. And I like to just randomly open up because it always seems like the messages just lead us right to where we need to be. All right. And tonight our message, or our name of God that we're dealing with, is time travel. And the message that he has related with time travel is, when we want to undo past crimes, and that's in quotes, in order to banish their painful effects from our lives and the lives of others, this name provides us with an ingenious time travel device. Forget about the Dramamine. This flight happens on a soul level. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. Now, the insight that Yehuda gives, and I think this is really great, and he's used the word crimes in here, but this can be all kinds of things from our past that maybe we haven't completely cleared, might be blocking us from successes, things that maybe we wish we hadn't done in some ways. moving on to his insight, he says, science says that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every cause, there is an effect. But in the physical world, there is always an interval of time between an action and its result. Time is the distance between cause and effect. Time is the space between crime and consequence. Time is the gap between good deed and dividend. The chain of cause and effect could be 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 months, or even 10 lifetimes. Nevertheless, the effects of our behavior come back to us in full measure. We believe, mistakenly, that good is unrewarded, that evil goes unpunished, and that life lacks true justice. Why? Because the memory of our positive and negative actions fades over time. And when their delayed effects appear, we see them as simply random events. What's more, unkind words also set the cause and effect principle into motion. So how do we return to the original cause before its nasty effects show up in our lives? The technology for this exists in this unique name. Long ago, Kabbalists declared that time travel was possible. Today, quantum physicists are catching up to Kabbalah by acknowledging that time travel is achievable, at least in theory. But Kabbalah doesn't say we will physically rocket back in time to encounter our own self face to face. That's an intriguing concept, but here we achieve an objective far more dazzling than the notion of having lunch with ourselves somewhere in the past. What is that objective? How about unimaginable joy and fulfillment once we correct all the negative actions of our past? Now, this is an interesting concept because our guest tonight, one of the things that she deals in is quantum healing or quantum jumping around, quantum physics work. So this is a kind of interesting message to have come up. And also, I know in my Genesis clearing statement, for any of you that are interested in that, you can sign up for my email list, and that's something that I give away free when people sign up for my email list. Also deals with being able to go back and clear from the point of origin in order to move forward. And it's very important that we do make these clearings. It's very important that we do take the time to make these corrections. No, we can't necessarily go back and change what's already happened, but we can change it in the sense of correcting ourselves, and that plays into compassion with ourselves, that plays into compassion with others, that plays into also stepping more on our life path and creating successes for ourselves. Now, the meditation Yehuda has with this says, awaken remorse in your heart for prior misdeeds. Accept the frank spiritual truth that problems in your life are the result of past actions. Concentrating on this name will now uproot the negative seeds you've already planted. In doing so, you can transform your past, reshape the present, and assure yourself a future full of joy and fulfillment. So that's Yehuda's message for this week. The name of God that we're dealing with is time travel. And the way that that's pronounced is Vav Hey Vav. Okay, that's Vav Hey Vav. And again, I will have that message up just shortly after the show on my website for any of you that want to go back and actually read that for yourself or check in with it during the week. So there we go. That's our message from Yehuda. And wonderful message, wonderful thought to think about, uprooting those negative things and moving forward with our lives. Now tonight, one of the things we're looking at is intuitive healing. And I want to look at some concepts here. Really, what is the intuitive connection to our daily life? Okay, could that be, or could it be, that what is happening in our life is a result of not having our intuition strong enough or not listening to it enough? Some people feel that being intuitive is something that you have to be born with, while others feel that it's something that can be developed. Some people feel or believe that intuition is strictly the sixth sense, and others believe that it's all five senses working with the sixth sense. Does intuition speak to us through other senses so that we can better understand what we need to be doing in our lives? As for me, I come from a long lineage. Okay, I come from at least 13 generations of spiritual advisors and healers. And even those that have a natural ability with their intuition or come from a long lineage like I do still need to consciously develop that intuition. After all, how can it benefit one if they do not learn how their intuitive abilities work? I have found that we oftentimes intuitively know what we need. Our bodies will crave different things in order to help us know what nutrients it is in need of. Our mind gets visions or thoughts that seem to come out of nowhere and give us insight into what is happening in our lives. The curiosity comes in healing life issues on an intuitive level. Certainly, I've used my intuition to gain enlightenment about different things that have then allowed me to understand maybe the next step I needed to take or how to focus my energy. So I ask you, what are your experiences with intuitive healing? Can we truly heal in all areas of our lives intuitively? What is the potential we can use reaching our intuition? You know, how can we use that intuition to manifest our potential? Our guest tonight focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of waking up. It is where we start to realize our talents and are ready to use them to help ourselves and to help others. It is where we embrace our natural abilities and those things that we would like to develop for ourselves and actively begin to work with them. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Janelle Huff with us. She's going to be sharing her work on intuitive healing and development, as well as her book, I'm More Than That. The song that I have for you tonight during our break is done by Claire Hedin. Some of you may have remembered Claire was a guest on my show at the very end of 2012. If you missed that show, I highly encourage going back and listening to it. Her name is Claire Hedin, C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N, and you can find out more about her work at clairehedin.com, and the song I have tonight is A Walk in Epping Forest.
stepping forth. Of the other, walking on the pathway, covered in leaves, different colors, different stages of decay, of brittleness, subtlety, suppleness, fern and bracken, interwoven, different vegetation, talking to each other, nestling amongst each other, intertwining amongst each other. And as I look up to the forest of the trees above, the tall, tall trunks reaching to the sky, to the sun, to the rain, everything has its place. The sunlight is dappled across the leaves, across the ground, across my face, my hair. And as I walk, I feel the forest wrapping itself around me and at the same time opening itself up for me. And we are one. As I walk, it walks with me. As I move, it moves. One expressing the other, connected. And then comes the breeze. The leaves rustle. They bend. Constantly shimmering in the sunlight. Creatures, the little animals, the little insects, everything, so populated, so busy, so silent, so loud. Movement, movement, movement. So graceful, this movement is so graceful. This earth is so beautiful. It's so alive. Constantly dying, regenerating, constant, constant motion, cycles of being. And I'm in that. I'm a part of that, not from it. So beautiful.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess this evening. You were just listening to A Walk in Epping Forest by Claire Hedin. If you'd like to find out more about her work, you can go to www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And I'd like to bring on my guest tonight, Jenielle Huff. She is known globally as the Intuitive Healing Woman and focuses on helping the soul experience the freedom of success in all areas of life. Jenielle is certified in Quantum Touch and NLP, or Neuro-Linguistic Programming. She has a background in Christian counseling and sociology. She is the author of I Am More Than That, and offers a variety of services, including magnetic healing, ascending intuition, energy healing, hypnosis, life coaching, and intuitive insight. She works with people on anxiety, depression, and addictions, as well as other areas of life. We will be looking tonight at her work as in the ability to open all of the senses, including our own intuitive abilities, and her ability to bring healing, motivation, and success to any endeavor. And I'm sure we would all love to have a little bit more of that going on in our life. And if you'd like to learn more about Jenielle, you can go to her website, which is www.jeniellehuff.com, and that's JanielleHuff.com. And that has got all kinds of great information on there. And I'm going to go ahead and open up her mic. And Jenielle, it's wonderful to have you here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here and to share with all of you.
Well, I really appreciate you giving us your time. And I remember I connected with you a little while back on LinkedIn, and I had some other discussions going on in regards to psychic work, and you kind of came up and you're like, oh, but I train people how to get psychic in their work. And I thought, I've so got to have her on the show. I think that's one of those things that people, they think, oh, do I have this gift? Do I have this capability? But it's not very often that you find people that train in that. So I guess I would like to start tonight by having you share a little bit about your story, maybe what your background is, what brought you into doing this work that you're doing.
All right. I'll take a few moments just to go back. It's really not about my story. It's about healing others. But through my story is I have been reading since I was 5 years old. I don't know that I called it that at 5 years old. But through religion, and again, I have nothing against religions. Everybody has their own beliefs, which is fine. What I came to find out, though, was when I was young, I got shut down by the religion because I wasn't matching what their beliefs were. So when I knew things before they happened at school, and I went to a very strict Christian school, they would, I think I got saved every day in my third, fourth grade because they were like, what's wrong with her? How does she know this? She must have demons in her or whatever. So I experienced that, and that kind of shuts you down through life because you're like, well, I'm not going to tell anybody else what I know. And shutting down for a lot of people, especially in the addictions, what I found is people that are really kinesthetic, really can feel things, but they don't know what to do with it. They often more turn to addictions to help them to not feel, or they think they're feeling in a new way. And it really just brings on a fear factor there. So through my walk, I was actually at one time, crack and heroin was my my God. It was my life. And it did take me probably 8 rehabs to really get it. And that's why I always tell people, don't ever give up. I mean, you're not there to heal the other person. You're there to help them through their journey, but they have to do the healing. And as much as I wanted healing many times, my parents would step in and pick me up. And, you know, and it wasn't until they said no more that I really got real with me and said, okay, I have to figure this out for me. And through that, I've just opened up into a whole new realm with the abilities. As you said, I teach people how to use their intuitive abilities. What I do with that is connect the senses, because the senses is our trust system here on Earth, whether it's seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, whichever one you want to use, and to connect them all as one, so you have one basis of sense of trust. And that's really what intuitive means to me, is trust, trusting inwardly whatever's going on outwardly, because we are a reflection of our realities. It's like a mirror image. And the people around you are those parts of you that you're still healing or working on. The one that gets on your nerves, that person that, oh my gosh, I don't know what else to do with them. You know, that's still part of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't see it in that person. So with the healing, I always say, I must be really sick because I have a lot of clients. So I must need a lot of healing because they heal me as I heal, as I help them grow. So it you do benefit, whether you're coaching your friend or just sending out energy, you really do get that back. You just don't, most people don't tap into it to say, most people at the end of the day go, did I have a good day or a bad day? I sit down and say, what did my clients teach me today? Or what did God teach me today? Or what did Earth teach me today? Or whatever that is. Because I always want to know, and I want to trust that I know. And that's what I teach with a lot of people. But not everybody's ready at the beginning just to learn their senses, and you know, they got to clear out some junk, kind of like you said, going back in the past and clearing that out. I work a lot with that, just because, you know, our past, everybody wants to hold their story because it does something for them. And when you finally realize it's just what it is and it doesn't really have that value that you placed on it, or that feeling of energy that you need or that you think you're connected to, and you can really just let it go and detach from it. Not that you'll ever forget it, because your mind will remember it, and it'll bring it up when you need it. But if you're wearing your story on your sleeve, you're probably still in victim mode. And I have been there, so I can meet people right where they are. I just feel like the ones that connect are the ones for me. And that's really, I do things opposite than many people. And it really is based on trusting my senses, trusting my knowings. Yeah.
I think you've brought up a couple of really good points here in that going through this negative input day in and day out, whether that comes from a situation like yours, like a Christian school, or whether that from family or peers or wherever it is, I think that causes a lot of people to try to suppress the intuition. And intuition in particular is one of those things that it's like that pot with a really tight lid on it. It's going to explode the more you try to hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's part of my experience. Like you can't just keep pushing it down and suppressing it. And I really like, too, how you brought something up, the people that live in their story so much that they're still in a victim mode. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. I think it's important that we know our story. I think it's important that we're in tune with where we've come from and the journey we took to get there. But to continue to live in that story is definitely a victim mode. And I went through some experiences in my young 20s, which I had a choice. Was I going to let that stop my life, and was I going to live in that story and remain a victim, or was I going to pick my life up and make a difference? And I chose to pick my life up and make a difference, you know, and not stay in that victim space. But so many people do.
Right. They do, you know, because that's what they know. That's what we're programmed to know, because people will say, you learn it at a young age. What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to do when you grow up? And it's like, we don't even get a chance to be, you know. If you didn't have any outside programming, would you still make it? Of course you would, because you have everything within you that you need. And when I say that, I'm talking about the energy, the wisdom. No matter where you're at on this earth or in this universe, you have the tools within you for survival, for growth, for healing. And when you talked about healing a while ago, what I kept hearing was, you know, healing is not only, because we don't want to say one way, but it really is aligning your beliefs and values. And when you do that, you bring your body out of dis-ease. You know, medical world has how many terms for the same thing 20 times, right? But this one's a little bit different, or cancer is this. And what I have found with working with people is when we don't focus on the label, all of a sudden everything comes up about, oh, that's how I got cancer. Oh, that's where it came from. My intuitive ability, whether you're in front of me or across the world, because I work globally, but I don't travel globally all the time, I can pull you up right in my mind and see your energy. So if you want to do a reading, or if you want to know what's going on medically, you know, in your body, I can usually tell you that. But I can go deeper and say, well, you know, this value and belief, whatever it is for you, make it one way or another. And just to give you a quick example of that, people who smoke, I have clients who come for non-smoke to quit smoking. Sometimes their lungs are totally clear and they smoke for 30 years. And I'm like, what's really going on? You know what? They don't hold a negative value around smoking. So their body doesn't intuitively or naturally hold that negative substance. And then there's other people that barely smoke but have all this programming that it's bad for them, and you pull up their lungs and you're like, oh my goodness, you would have thought they smoked 30 years. It's because you're holding a negative value with something you're doing or believing in, and it's not matching the positivity of what your mind's thinking consciously or unconsciously. So you have this battle in the mind. And I like to say we bring it back to peace and let you start again. Kind of clear the slate and say, okay, what do I want to believe in? Because I kind of went through that. I had to deprogram myself, I guess, from all the religious beliefs because I was divorced and I thought it was the end of the world. Just because, it wasn't appropriate. You're not supposed to do that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It really took me down a bad path. Not even a bad path. It was a path of just trying to shut down and not feel that I was worth it. And, you know, that's where people lose their self-esteem because they listen to other people's opinions about them. One thing when working with me is I will never give you advice. I will give you the tools that you can go inside and get your advice, to hear the voice, to feel it, to know it, to even as simple as people want to complicate things. They want this whole big story. And most of the time what I found, if they just ask a yes or no question about it, they truly will get their own answer. And you can use muscle testing. I like to keep it simple and basic. So to do yes, no, I just say sit naturally, and we can do this together if you want. It's just a quick technique. Just sit where you are and kind of breathe. With no intention, you're just breathing. And I want you to feel your body. Just feel it, sense it, hear it, look at it, whatever you need to do to know you're in it. And then just in your mind or out loud, just say your real name is, and say your real name, and you'll feel your body move. Your breath changes, or it goes forward, whatever it does is right for you. So just kind of play with that for a minute. If you didn't feel anything, just ask your body for a stronger signal. And then say, my real name is. And put your name in there. And the more you work with it, the stronger it becomes. Okay, and whatever that feeling is, anchor that as yes. That's your yes. Okay, and then we're going to do the opposite. Come back. Breathe again, let go, just kind of relax again. And then this time we're going to put a false name in. So in your mind or out loud, say, my name is, and choose a false name. For most of you, you're going to go backwards or your gut's going to go in a little bit or you're going to get tightened, whatever that is. And again, if you didn't feel it, ask for a stronger signal, do it again. And then that's your no. So when you wake up in the morning and you have all these stories and all these things to do, or you think you have all these things to do, sit with your list for a moment and just say, am I to do that today? And feel your body, yes, no. The truth behind that is your muscles never lie. So if your muscles never lie and they're connected to the unconscious mind consciously, and that's what I like to bring to light is the unconscious consciously, it allows you to connect deeper and trust yourself. And all of a sudden, you do this for 2 or 3 days, go through your list or make decisions just by your feel your body. What you're doing is you're stopping your thought process. You're trusting your intuitiveness, your muscle test, your inner knowing over the thoughts. Because how many times do we make a decision and then our thoughts go, oh, no, blah, 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 right? That's because most of the time, about 99% of your thought process is based in fear, because most of your thoughts come from other people's situations, or yours, or you have a negative connotation around what may happen. You know, I'm not one to attach to outcome. I see the vision, but then you got to put the action in it. And however it comes out is usually better than I could even imagine. You'll notice that for you too. But work with that little technique, it'll pull you out of anything. You can use it as simple as, I know a lot of people are right now are dealing with food allergies and air allergies. You can actually ask your body, you know, am I allergic to this? It'll tell you. I use it with weight loss clients because your body types are different. And some people, you can ask it, does my body process milk? it'll tell you, you know, or gluten or whatever meat, whatever that is. You could go through your whole cabinetry and decide what's good for your body, what your body will take and not take. And that you can do that for health reasons or just for weight loss or whatever that is. But you can use this in all areas. And I think that's what's a little bit different with me is that I don't limit. You know, people think there's only one way out of their problem. And that's so not true. I mean, how many ways can you think of leaving and coming home? There's a lot of ways, a lot of routes you could take, right? Why is there only one way out of our problem or one answer? You know, you trust yourself, and a lot of people have the racing mind. I don't know if you've dealt with that, but I know when I was going through my recovery and trying to put my life back together, my thoughts at night would not shut up. it was like, well, you know, your whole day or whatever is going to happen 3 months later, and you're not even there yet, you know. So I learned to place my tongue at the tip of the top of the roof of your mouth, right behind your two front teeth. If you apply a little bit of pressure, kind of like you're going to cluck like a duck, but you're not going to bring your tongue down. You're just going to leave it up there and make sure you continue to breathe. And you'll notice it stops off thought. It quiets the mind. Because as much as you want to know that your thoughts are all up in your head, they really do lie on the tip of your tongue. The energy for them are right there. And you can practice that throughout your day. I mean, that's something you can sit in a meeting and do. Because I know I've been in meetings and my head will go, oh, on another subject, and I'll have to pull myself back in. So I just use that tongue technique. No one knows what you're doing, right? You're sitting there. I use muscle testing.
Yeah. I've heard of that technique as being a way to connect with divine presence.
Right, right. Well, and you when connect
we,
with divine presence.
We can't remain with our thoughts all over the place, which is kind of an interesting concept. And we talk about that, and it really brings into factor that, hey, it really is all in your head. People joke
really
about
is.
That, but in a sense, it really is all in your head.
Right. Most of your fear is because your experiences, you attach those negative emotions to them. And, you know, I know you have a clearing statement. There's many ways to heal. I always say go try it. If it's presented to you and you think it's going to work for you, you know, most of it's belief over whether it's oils or whether it's massage or energy healing. You know, most of it is your belief, because I've worked with people and the energy's actually bounced back at me. Because they're really not ready for that healing. And I'll be honest
right.
with them. We need to open your heart a little more. We need to open your energy system a little more, because it'll bounce back at me, and I can feel that. Whether you're, you know, you could be in Israel, Brazil, I don't care where you are, I can still feel it. Energy has no bounds. So if energy has no bounds, why should we as humans? You know, we always think we're limited by our bodies or by you know, by our circumstances, and I wanted to say I'm more than that. And, you know, that's where my book came in, but, you know, I use that for myself to grow, because everybody would say, oh, you're a reader, oh, you're a healer, oh, you're this, and I'm like, no, I'm so much more than that. Like, why can't they get this, you know? But I was still trying to get it, so how are they going to get it? And, so I pulled the labels off, you know, and really just expand that ceiling, that limit. You know, even intuitive as most of the ascended masters were, there's a feeling of fear that we hit in our daily journey. And that, you know, when you hit the feeling of fear, because your thoughts kick in to try to tell you what to do. And it's like,
and
when
is,
I hear that, yeah.
That's a good checkpoint right there of
okay.
whether we're in fear or not, how much those thoughts are kicking in and how much they're coming through. And I have to say, I really love that you brought out the fact that you don't tell people what to do. I have people sometimes get upset with me because I won't tell them what to do. And
yeah.
I, like you, I can provide them the tools. They still have to do it. They still have to make the decision whether they want to do this or not. And
mm-hmm.
I can take them through processes that help them discover whether they really want to do it.
Right.
But I can't make that decision for them. And so it's a, and the labeling thing, this is something that, and maybe you've noticed it too, it doesn't matter whether somebody is operating from a conscious space or not. I see so many people who have all of this experience out there, and they're so busy labeling everything. Like, you didn't use the right word. And they'll come at me, you know, you didn't use the right word. That's not the right word. Don't talk that way. And it's really kind of interesting how stuck these so-called advanced people are on labels.
Yeah, so true. You know, when you talk about people being stuck and, you know, giving advice, and I tell people, if you want my advice, I'm just adding vices to your fire. Because the truth is, we can only know what's best for us because it's our experience. And whether, I don't know if it was through, probably was through NLP, I learned a little bit more in depth about your representational system. And that's where I kind of learned how to use your senses, how to trust your senses. But that labeling limits, and it makes parameters. And then they wonder why all the, you know, sometimes I look at the mind of people or their energy, and I see parts scattered. And it's just like parts of their brain, they're all scattered, and then they're like shut off because there's a negative there. So, and it's like they're trying to push through that to get healing or whatever that is. And when you move that energetic charge, that negative charge, that positive charge, it actually will release. And it's like the light bulb comes on, you know? It's like, oh, there is energy there. Oh, I am okay. I do that. I, you know, my root chakra and my second chakra, that's where my damage was. I was sexually abused as a child for 15 years, or 10 years, sorry, for 10 years. And I had a lot of issues going through there. And I won't even say today that they're totally gone, because for me, I think we're all a work in progress. But what I see through the labeling is, you know, there's one way to heal. There's only one way to read this. There's only one way to do that. And the truth is, there's always. And that's what grows, I guess that's how I grow daily. I don't know how much your audience and you work on yourselves daily, but if I quit working on me, I wouldn't go back out into the marketplace. You know, working on yourself is your craft, is your gift. And whether it's working with your intuitive abilities or your learned abilities, the moment you quit doing that is the moment growth stops. And it'll go backwards. You know, energy is always in motion. So if you're not going forward, you're probably going backwards because there's no neutral. I like people like to say, I'm neutral. No, you're not. You're probably going backwards, just not recognizing it. Yeah, so I work with people to get them forward and forward thinking and tell me what they do want, not what they don't want. And that's just programming from the world. So my only advice I give people is look at the world and do the opposite for yourself, because it's probably not going to be for you. Do it your way. Find your own uniqueness that says, this sets me apart. Or even if it doesn't set you apart, it works for you. And it's your truth and in alignment with your belief, which will align your energy back to source. And that's the most I see. Like I see people really grounded here on Earth, but then they're not heightened. And the thing with whether you're ascending, at the same time you're ascending, you want to be grounded. Because if you're ascending without grounded, what happens? We get called woo-woo, right? We go out there,
right?
They're like, what? So I use balance a lot to say, okay, as I'm growing, I want to grow in balance. So dig my roots as far as I can go high. That way you're the mirror image of your root system in your ascension. And it brings you more into a balance of teaching, of sharing, of just living your daily life without 20 questions, questioning yourself, you know, and removing that label to say, I'm only this, I'm only that. What else can you be? What else can you grow through? And I think people just get stuck in that comfort zone to say, this is all I am. So I like to move the barrier. So I like to move that limit and use your imagination, because that's the energy source. Just putting it out there to see what else is out there.
Absolutely. I think that is such an important thing, is is removing those limitations that come with that labeling. And it is what it is. I mean, spirit is spirit. It's not a particular label or called by one specific name. There's multiple names, right? There's multiple names split by. There's multiple names that energy is referred to by. And in some ways, yes, it helps us get clarity. In other ways, if somebody, and I think this is a good guide when people are looking for things, if people are very set that you've got to use these terms or you've got to buy into these concepts, they're really trying to sell you something more in a way than trying to help you develop yourself.
That's true, because a lot of that's because of when you're looking at these programs, and even when you're looking at my programs online or whoever, you've got to look to see what it means to you. And that's where I think a lot of people get disconnected, because your coach or your counselor has one set of meanings. Well, if you're coming from your perspective, probably not helping your client, because you got to get into them and look at their representational system. And, you know, you almost lose yourself just to say, how can I be there for you? And the reason is because if you're an auditory learner and you're showing them everything, like writing it out for their visual, they're probably not going to connect, because that's not their strong sense convincer. And we all have one. What I found is most people have one convincer, one sense that they trust over all their other senses, whether it's their seeing or their hearing or if they're tasting or feeling or smell. Some people can smell smells and know that that person's good or bad, or, you know, that's just how they label it. That's how they connect to know. And I always say, because whether you believe in spirit guides or intuitiveness coming in, the funniest question I think I get is, well, how will I know it's for me? Well, you know, I kind of like laugh at that, because it's going to be in your representational system. If you believe in source or believe in God or believe in energy, I don't think it's going to tell you in Chinese, if you don't know Chinese, what your answer is, right? It's going to come in your language. It's just opening that awareness to see that and trust that. And you can work on each of your senses to bring them into trust. If you're a visual person and that's how you learn and trust, well, then start connecting that to your hearing. So now what I see, I hear. You know, and then you connect it deeper. So you know feeling is always first, because if we don't feel it, we're probably not alive, for one, but feeling is what makes the image, what makes the thoughts, right? So that feeling of the universe, that feeling of energy comes in, and you got to trust what it's saying, whether it's from me or from, you know, prayer or your meditation time or whatever. There's a trust, there's a convincer that says, I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you believe it fully, then it becomes your knowing. And that's what I work with people. How do you know that you know that you know? Most people, it's 3 to 5 times. I had a guy not too long ago, I said, we did the smoking sensation, and he wasn't sure he was done. And I said, well, how many times do you need to hear, you know, you're done from your body? And he's like, probably 5. So 5 times in a row, we did his convincer, and he's fine. But, yeah, so know your convincer, and it's okay if it's 5 times. We have a lot of lack of trust in the world. And if it's 10 times, you need to read something before you believe it. But make sure it aligns in your belief system, because that's the only way it's going to grow. We have so many seeds in our minds of all these little beliefs other people put in, and they only go as deep as you allow them. And so opening that mind to say, unconscious mind, you know, put this down there, believe this for me. I work a lot with direction with my unconscious, because I know there's a lot of gray matter in there. So I say, think this seed, you know, think this seed, because what's happening in your mind is happening in your body. So you can work with the mind to heal disease within the body, or you can work with the energy of the body and heal the mind, but it's connected, and it'll always be interconnected. And, you know, it's not, you know, people come in and they're like, I don't want to share my story, or, oh, you're going to see everything anyway. I'm not there to judge. Because that's not my job. My job is to love and show you the compassion and the tools to create your life the way you want it, not the way I want it. But whatever that peace is for you, whatever makes peace for you, follow that.
And that's good that you're bringing up that it's different things, because I think one of the hardest things for people to get to is to trust themselves.
Yeah.
And to trust coming in. And as you mentioned, it comes in a little bit differently for each person. It comes in a little varied. And
yeah.
We know this, for example, as people get older, they have strokes, things like their sense of smell comes up more. But it triggers in your language, and I think that's a key factor. If the message wasn't for you, well, I shouldn't totally say that, because there are times we can get messages and it kind of belongs to somebody around us. But if it wasn't your message to understand somehow, you wouldn't be getting that message.
Right. Or you could quickly ask with your muscle testing, was that for me or them? You know how some people are so clear sentient that they feel other people's pain?
Yep.
And they go,
I'm like,
I've had
there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, empathic and clairsentient. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, is that their pain or my pain? Yes or no, you know? Is that my pain? You'll get a yes or no, and then you'll know that's their pain, or you're sensing outside yourself. And it really is, for a lot of people, I know, heaviness comes on a lot of people, and they think, how do I get out of this? Breathing is, to me, the most balancing thing. You know, you can use breathing as easy as for weight loss or for letting go. A lot of techniques, you know, let's say breathe in and then let it go. That's for your conscious mind to say, oh, we're letting go of that concept. Oh, we're going to let go of that belief. But you're really
right.
Just changing the energy, the perspective in the mind. Yeah. So it's really what your conscious mind is going to let you get through with for a moment until it starts believing, you know. And I use a lot of my hands a lot of the days, and I'll put on one hand my soul. I'll say, okay, soul, come out on one hand. Conscious mind or ego, come out on the other. And if they're not, if they're in front of me and one's ahead of the other, I'll know, oh, wait, I'm too much into ego, or, oh, wait, I'm way too far into soul. And it's just a balancing that I use to keep me balanced, to keep me grounded, just a self-awareness. And that's what people don't spend time. They're so worried about what other people are doing and worrying about all their stuff. Like, if you spent an hour with yourself a day or 15 minutes with yourself a day, you know, that would create
right.
a lot of difference in your life. And it's not a judgment time. It's a time to say, what's up? What's going on? And release that judgment, because that judgment just keeps you sick, you know, and it limits you. And if you're out there judging other people, trust me, you got it inside you. Figure you wouldn't know it, you know, and I use that a lot because it's an awareness tool. That lady at the cash register wasn't very nice to you. Well, guess what? You probably weren't very nice to somebody sometime, because you wouldn't have recognized that behavior. So it's a mirror image of something that you're working on to heal or to change in your life. And that's how I kind of see the world, to say, okay, what are they teaching me out here that I need to ascend to or let go of?
And it is so important to do those checkpoints with ourselves throughout the day, not just like periodically once every 6 months or something, but periodically throughout the day. And if something is coming in at us, it's a great checkpoint to say, okay, well, where's our head at? You know, is our head in a negative space? Or is it in a positive?
Right. How did I create that? Yes.
Or you know, is this a perception? Are they really coming off that way? Janelle, I've got a caller in the queue here. And are you open to taking any calls?
Sure, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this goes, because
okay.
I know that we had some challenges in our system earlier this week. And so let's take a look and see how it goes and if it'll work out here for us. I've got somebody calling in from the 864 area code, okay? And you are live on the air, 864 area code.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Did you have a question for Danielle?
I did, yes. Hi. I was wondering, I've been having some bad headaches, and I'm kind of going through the doctor, you know how they do that, where they say, give it another week, give it another 2 weeks, come back. You know, I'm on the third time coming back. I've already taken Tylenol, like, every single day, every 6 hours, and that didn't work. And I was wondering what else could be helpful.
All right. I'm looking at your energy just to see what's going on. You're a lot of fear-based. You hold a lot of this is a great question, because you can actually, a lot of people will heal from this. You don't have enough blood in your brain. Have you ever heard that? your body, your physical body, when you're in fear or your body thinks you're anxiety and all those things, it's going to bring your blood down into your muscles because it thinks it's going to fight something or it's ready for, you know, battle. So it brings it for your muscles to be okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do just right now with me, and do this throughout the day for yourself, is just kind of breathe in and out, and then take your two index fingers right above your eyebrows, like in the middle of your eyebrows on each side of your head. You're going to feel a little pulse there. And don't press too hard, you won't feel the pulse. And it's okay if you don't feel the pulse. But just kind of leave your fingers there and breathe. And you'll feel the blood coming back up into your mind, back up into your brain. I also see a lot of dehydration. Like, you either overdrink and dehydrate your body that way, or you don't get enough water. And it looks like you're not getting enough water intake there, too. But as you pull that back up, and you can do two things. You can leave your fingers there until your body sighs naturally. That just tells you you're back in balance. Or you can put your fingers back up there and say intuitively or inside yourself, my hands will fall away when all energy's been ran, or my body's back in balance. And your body will kind of sigh, or your hands will fall away. But what I'm really seeing is there's an imbalance of your blood flow. And your blood pressure probably goes up and down a little bit just because of everything going on around you. You're being pulled in a lot of directions is what I see. So boundaries would probably be a good thing to work on for a headache spare.
Boundaries, okay.
Yeah. You don't tell enough people no.
Yeah. Okay, well, that helps a lot. I just don't, you know, like I said, I've been going back and forth to the doctors every 2 weeks, and they give you these regimens of taking all this medicine and Tylenol every 6 hours, and it's just not working.
The medicine will do a job. It'll cover up the underlying condition, you know, and that's okay for the moment, but it's going to come back until you clear it. And really, if I looked back into your, I'm just looking in your energy, this probably started about a month and a half ago when you started doing this. You made some choices that you weren't really wanting to make, and it started creating this pressure in your lifestyle of, I don't know if I can handle all this. Why did I agree to all this stuff is what I'm seeing. You know, just release that and say it is what it is, and I'll do the best I can. Or I'll do what I can. Don't even pick it best. Just I'll do what I can. I'm willing to do what I can. And leave it there for a moment, and that will help you detach from overextending yourself, because that's what I really see. You go in 20 directions at once, and the truth is your body can only do one thing. You know, as much as the world wants to tell you you're a good multitasker, your body likes to do one thing at a time. Your mind likes to do one thing at a time consciously, because unconsciously it's doing how many things? Think about that. So if we were all in total conscious awareness, we would be like, or if we weren't, right, we'd be like, breathe, breathe, breathe. That's all we would get done all day. But we trust our unconscious to take care of that method of breathing for us so we don't have to think about it. But when I look at your mind, I see you thinking about 20 different things at one time and trying to be the answer to all, and that's not your job. So fire yourself and take a break.
That's right, yeah. I mean, I thought it was kind of stressed, but I really wasn't sure. And because, like, right behind my ear on my left side, I'll start feeling like a pulse. And I'm like, and I started thinking, maybe it's just stress. And,
you know, that pulse is because you're not listening to the inside out. You're listening outside in. Your ears get clogged when you listen from the outside in. It's almost like your, if you ever heard about your ear chakras, kind of like, to me, they're pinkish in colors, and your left one just really clogged because you've been hearing a lot of inward talk, but you're not taking action on it. So after a while, your chakra or your energy goes, well, we're done. You know, like, we've given you all this information, and we're just going to shut down until you're ready. So just ask your body to open back up your ears to hear again whatever that is you need for you. And I know it's going to be hard because you have to tell people no.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering what that was, but I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'll work on that. I'll go ahead and do that. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
I thank you. Bye-bye.
And that's been so helpful, Janelle, because I think this is a perfect example of where people oftentimes do get these headaches come up, and especially when they're prolonged, and yes, sometimes they can be something more serious or that need to be checked out, but when they've been checked out and they're not finding solutions, and I've found this a lot in my life, that whatever is happening physically has something that is internally based at its core. And whether that's fear or perception or not setting our boundaries, and this really is a true thing. And then people will start to take the medications, the aspirins, the Tylenols, whatever it is, or other things that their doctors give them. And it tremendously dehydrates the system. So as you brought up, that's taking the blood out of the brain.
Yeah.
And not getting it to where it wants to be. And I was kind of going along with you, and I was noticing how much when we get that blood going back into the brain area, how much it really takes us out of that thinking space. We get a little bit lighter. I was getting a little bit lighter feeling.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like getting that nice little buzz. You just didn't care.
Yeah. Because it's back up. Yeah, your body is relaxing because the blood's not trying to pump through there, but your muscle's so tight and all your stresses, you know? Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, it's when people have headaches and, you know, like I work with some doctors for the medical intuitive, and they're like, we took every CT scan and I don't see what you're seeing. And I'll just simply say, well, ask them if they're worrying about this, because think about this in your mind. You know how they say your thoughts are your worries and you're like on a rat wheel or a hamster wheel? Okay,
right.
When you're doing that in your mind, that means blood is flowing there. And if it's just flowing there in circles, it's going to probably create a circle or a clog or a darkness. And some of them you don't see on CAT scans and things like that because they can't truly see through the energy. They're seeing what the naked eye can see, maybe a little bit more, but... So using the energy or using healing really is just looking for the darkness. And a lot of times I can tell people exactly what they're like. I had a lady the other day and I'm like, you know, when you figure out that problem with your mom, you'll quit having headaches on the back right side of your head because that's where she held her worry. But what I really notice with people, people don't talk to their bodies. If my stomach hurts, I look at my stomach and go, what's wrong? You know, and I'll hear, hey, I've got too much acid in my stomach, or I shouldn't have ate that, or this or that. Your body will talk to you, but you've got to sit down and listen. And we're so busy in this world doing and being and all outside ourselves. Your body will tell you what's wrong. You know, I've had many people diagnosed with cancer and these things, and they'll be like, well, the doctor didn't even see it, you know, and then they'll go back 6 months and, oh, there it is. And, that's because nothing changed in that 6 months or whatever that is. But your body will tell you what it needs. But you got to ask. You know, a lot of us do things routinely, like, oh, we eat 3 times a day. Well, what if your body wasn't set up for 3 times a day? That's a worldview, you know. So ask your body, am I hungry? That would help a lot with emotional eating, trust me. Or that boredom.
Right.
Yeah, right? Am I hungry? If your body says no, then don't open the fridge door. Go find something to do because you're just doing that out of routine of boredom to be moving. Because we always think we're
supposed to be
moving.
I have another caller in the queue if you would like to do that. Okay. This caller is calling in from 727 area code, and you are live on the air.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
All right. Well, my question is kind of a multiple question. I know there was one answered on headaches. Well, my headache actually comes, I live in Florida, every springtime, the last 20 years I lived here, it's like when it gets hot out, that's when my headaches start in the head and the neck. My other question is I don't really have 100% diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, but that probably a couple years ago they did a colonoscopy and they didn't come up with anything. But I have the weirdest bowels. It's just like all of a sudden I'll just have to go to the bathroom. And I just never know when I'm going to have to go and how the consistency is going to be. And also with the headaches, I'm starting to wonder if I have like an allergy or a sinus issue. It's not that I ever have a runny nose. It just, I don't know, I feel like a pressure in my eyes or something. I never had that before until recently, so I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with your headache first since you started there. The headache, most of your very kinesthetic feeling of the atmospheric pressure, whether you realize it or not. So when spring comes, the atmosphere, the pressure changes, so it feels heavy to you. The heat, the humidity is heavy to you. So for that, you know, breathing is good, breathing it out, but you could also just imagine yourself maybe in a bubble, pick your collar, whatever it is, and just say, within my space, the atmospheric pressure stays the same, whether what's going on around you. But what I'm really, really seeing is you quit imagining and you quit creating. And in springtime, you get really, really busy, even though you have the headaches, and you quit. It's almost like your third eye shuts down. That's exactly what I'm seeing. Like your third eye is rotating backwards. You're not creating. And when you're not in creative mode or imaginary mode, like you're not believing in that imagination, to me, what I see is the chakras go opposite way. They're almost like in reverse. So one thing with you, and I'm running energy on you now, so you may feel that, is to just take your hand in front of your face, like in front of your third eye or front of your forehead, and just imagine going forward clockwise. And just feel the energy, just like 2 or 3 inches above, right out in front of your forehead there. There you go. And just rotate it clockwise. And just do it until your body sighs. And it'll open that back up. You might even feel a warmth or a coolness come out just because of the energy that was stuck there. And don't ever, you know, people go, oh, if it's cold, it means this. If it's hot, it means that. Stay out of that limit. Ask yourself, what's that mean to me? If you want to know. You don't always have to know. Just clearing it's good. But I think that's why you're feeling the pressure behind your eyes, too, because it's almost as if I'm getting like 3 or 4 years ago, you've seen something that you couldn't believe, and it did happen in the springtime, and it kind of like all comes back together in spring, and you get a lot of unwarranted fears that aren't usually around you the rest of the year, too. So I see that around you, but the head is mostly just your third eye and not being creative, or you do this, you create, and then you stop. And the energy goes, wow. It's like, I don't want to finish anything. You're a start-stopper. You start and stop, and then because I keep hearing the fear is there's not going to be that next thing to do for you. Trust me, there's always something there to do. But a lot of people that have that start-stop pattern in their lives, whether it's in business or home or relationships, is because there's a fear out there saying, well, I may not be needed if this is finished, or there's a fear there's not something next to do. And who would I be if I finish this and I won't have that next creative project? Artists are great with that, right? Painting 20 paintings at one time and never finishing any. We've all been there in our lives, whatever we're creating. But it's to bring it in to go, there will be something next because this is meaningful to the next thing I'm going to do. And changing that thought pattern, that forward way, is really going to help with your headaches. Now, in your bowels, what I'm really, really seeing in your bowels right now is on your large intestine, I see a lot of little tiny ulcers, and it looks like little breakthroughs. And it's like your bowels compact so much that these little ulcers kind of pop. And so when they pop, then you go to the restroom, like you will have diarrhea. And then your body's kind of dehydrated, which isn't a lot for a lot of people. We're not very good at keeping our bodies hydrated. But for you, and I'm just going in there right now to your large intestine and your small, you also have a little kink in between your small and large intestine that you almost get like a cramping, and then it's like, you know, you better be in the bathroom. But that's there's a little disconnect there. So I'm just going to go ahead and run energy and heal that for you. Now, what you'll notice in the next 24 to 48 hours is your body's going to be very warm probably down there, and it's just going to be relaxed. And don't worry if you don't go, because you will go. It's just like resetting that. And the silica mm-hmm. In your large intestine goes very, very fast. So we're just going to slow that down a little bit, and that's because you overreact with your gut feeling a lot of times. You're like, oh, that was in my gut. We got to do it that way, blah, blah, blah. And you go, mm-hmm. like, in a manic phase for that, whatever that is. So we're just going to slow that down just a little bit there so that you'll just go back to natural. And you can work with yourself just by sitting and saying to yourself, my bowels and my body are now back to natural processes. As naturally as I came into the world, they naturally go back into that natural knowing. Because your body really does know how to function. It doesn't need your direction. But sometimes we need to just reset it back. There it goes. You can probably feel that now. I can feel that really strong going through your body. Here you go. Okay. Does that help?
Right now, I did feel the heat when I was rubbing my head.
Uh-huh.
I feel like relaxed. Like.
Yeah. And so just breathe that out and just stay in that relaxed mode. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I hope it helps. Because it gets annoying when you try to take your kids out to a theme park or this or that. And I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on. No matter where you're at.
And it'll just be an all of a sudden thing. You can, a lot of people do the lemon water or the lemon and hot water in the mornings. Probably if you did that a week or so, it would kind of balance you back to normal, too. It's going to do a little bit, but then it's going to keep it going naturally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And when you wake up tomorrow, kind of feel your stomach. It should feel a little bit low, your stomach. It should feel a little bit different right through there.
And do you see my body as, like, overly stressed at all times?
Yeah, you're overreactor is what I see. It's the fear of being, what if I don't fear this and it might happen? You do that a lot with your kids. You fear that something bad is going to happen, so you're in survival mode. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to protect them or protect before it even happens. So that's kind of like trying to control energy. So it's going to contract in your body and your muscles, because then it thinks you have the ability to change their path or their journey, where you should just really trust that you brought them into the world and whatever happens is supposed to happen. And I know that's hard for people, because they're like, how can you say that? You know, someone gets hit or whatever. That's part of their journey. And if mm-hmm. every time, just kind of like with me, if every time somebody picks you up or someone enters your journey without you asking, it's almost like you've changed the energy in their world, or you've changed their, you know, their pattern or whatever that is. It's not always a bad thing, but the thing is, they'll go back and repeat that pattern until they can come out of it themselves, because it's their journey. So it's our human self that goes, I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to be, you know, as much as my mom loved me, I'm sure she didn't want to see me get high on the streets. But she would mm-hmm. come out to the streets and pick me up and say, let's go do this again, you know, but I kept going back, and she couldn't figure that out. And finally, we got to a place where I learned, hey, you got to let me go through this and figure it out for me, because it's a codependency thing, and I'm relying on something outside myself to heal myself. And we do that in protective mode, too, with our own children.
Is that why typically ADD children drive their parents nuts?
Yeah, because their energy is so high, you're trying to control them back down. The best thing with ADD is to open up their peripheral vision, and that really will slow their energy world down, or their mind down. And simply play a game. If they're children or even adults, play a game with them. You know, I always say, sit in your chair, and then pick a point on the wall, like where the ceiling and the wall meet. And just kind of put your eyes there with your head straight. Your eyes are up in your visual, so they're kind of going towards your forehead. And you just kind of focus on a point, and then you start seeing what you can see left or right.
Well, my daughter's 20, my son's 14, so.
They're what?
And so my daughter's 20 and my son's 14, and then I have a 1-year-old
kid. Yeah, you can still do it. Just ask them to open up your peripheral vision. So if they're sitting in, like, their apartment, can you see your door and the wall on the left and right side of you? What else can you see? And it just pulls their peripheral vision. So much of the time, and especially this day and age with computers, we're also focused, narrow, you know. So as open as your eyes are is as open as your blood flow is in your mind. So imagine if they only see maybe very little left or right to them, a lot of blood's flowing through that little part, and it's going, like, really fast, so, and they're jumping around. So as you open the peripheral vision, it gives expanded space for that blood and attention to flow out, and they'll be actually more attentive. Yeah.
And if I have ADD, I should do the same thing then?
Yeah, same thing, yeah. And, you know, one of the good things for ADD when they're really, like, in that mode is to get outside and put your feet on the ground. Whether it's socks, don't use rubber shoes, but socks or feet, and just put them right on the ground. And I just stand there until my body, again, sighs, so it knows you're in balance. But, you know, maybe, I don't know how old you are, but I know when I was a kid, my mom was like, go outside and play. Well, it wasn't just they were telling us to go outside and play. When we came in, we were different. We were balanced because the energy of the earth is such a negative, and I don't mean bad, but a negative charge, that it would bring all those heightened energies back into balance for us. And kids today, they don't get out like that, right? They're not around where I live. They don't play in their backyard,
right. You
know. So they have all this energy up here, and it's not grounded, so they get blah, blah, blah. Yeah, ADD or ADHD, whatever you want to call it. So earthing, and I even think there's a website called earthing.com. You might check that out. It'll give you some ideas about different ways you can just ground and connect to earth. And that really does the ADD.
Yeah, because my attention span's never been as bad as it has been recently. Sometimes I don't even watch TV shows. My husband will be sitting there watching it right next to me, and I wouldn't even be half paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Because I just can't concentrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start telling
that earthing, there is several ways to do that. Soaking in a bathtub is one way. Danielle mentioned being barefoot on the ground, particularly if you can go barefoot in grass right after you've watered it, is another great way. The website that she's referring to, there is a company that manufactures products specifically for grounding out energy and for creating earthing effects, and they have a variety of things with that.
Yeah. And even in the bathtub, you could add the Epsom salt. And that's just a neutralizer of your energies.
Yeah, I've done that for de-stressing when I was stressing out.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think you guys answered everything. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And so this is some really great information that you were bringing up with her on these different things. And we think of things, I think, oftentimes, Danielle, and we look at them and we get wrapped up in that health issue or that physical issue, but it also translates over into successes of anything in our life as well. And I know that that's a big area that you deal with. And I do have somebody in chat as well that I want to give an opportunity to that's looking for just any kind of a general reading you can do or anything that you can pick up on that person. And the name of that person that I've got in chat is Kakelia Sheffield. And there's any kind of a general reading or anything that you pick up.
I'm seeing a lot of disconnect with our heart, a lot of fear around the heart, fear of being loved, fear being accepted. It looks like many bad relationships, not knowing, standing up for herself, knowing who she is, and just building that self-worth. It's been a journey for her on this earth. It looks like every turn, something, she gets battered in one way or another. And I don't always mean hit, but hit with something negative, and every time she almost gets that success, pulls back down. So that success is that it's okay to be successful. And success is what it means to you. And your self-worth is what it means to you. You know, I'm not big. I do little mantras, I guess, but I'm not big on affirmations because it's like you're looking in the mirror trying to convince yourself of something that you know you're not there yet. So work with right where you are. So if it's even looking in the mirror and saying your name, oh, hi, you know, hi, and look in your eyes, you know, maybe the next day you say, I like you today. And then maybe the next day, well, what do you want to do today? You know, also what I'm seeing is just went through a very big battle, which is getting ready to pass, and more peace and prosperity is coming around. But every time prosperity comes, backs off and says she's not worth it. So I would say go for it. Go outside that comfort zone. Right when you hit that fear that you're not, just say, yes, I am. It, you know, say it with power. Say it with your power and in your energy, with because that's what I see. You're not standing up for yourself. Your boundaries are very lax. People kind of walk over you sometimes, and you think it's okay, and it's really not, because, you know, you're here too for a purpose, and it's not to serve others. Believe it or not, you're not here to serve others. You're here to create your life and help others create their life in their way, and you can do that in many ways, you know. But for you, what I really see is to get some self-esteem going and really connect back to who you are and what you like. You tend to follow what other people like, even if you don't like it, just to be accepted. And the truth is, you got to go and accept yourself for who you are. And don't play by other people's rules or limits, because you're more than that. And I also see,
And there is confirmation coming in on what you're saying, by the way.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. And I'm seeing, like, your yellow. You know, you can use the clockwise technique on all your chakras, any area of your body, to move them. And really, I'm, like, 2 and 3 inches above your belly, if you would just start forwardly, you know, forward motion, clockwise motion around there, and just say, I love me right where I am. I release judgment right where I am. It really will clear. Because you know what? As much as we want to go in the past and clear things, it clears right now. And it clears. People label things, anxiety, depression, all these things. You know what? They're fear. So ask your body, take me back to the first time I ever felt fear. And when you get there, go back before it. Because if you go back before, it resets in your body and it releases, because it doesn't know. And you can test it. Okay, here's my fear. I'm going to go before fear. Do I feel fearful here? That's kind of hard to say. And you'll be like, wow, that's different. And then just say now. And your body resets. Many of you will have to do it many times, so you'll know it's true. But it really does reset the first time. Your body doesn't care how many times you want to do a process. It'll go with you. It's not going to fight you. I never heard inside my head, we cleared that. I get confirmation. But, and then you can use your yes, no. Is all, you know, am I feeling fear in this area of my life? Okay, can we clear that now? You know, so many people want to get into the where did I fear that at? Why did I do it? You know, who cares? It's gone. It's past. You can't change it, but you can release it. You can take that energy and move it forward. And that's what I really see. She's holding on to that victim story of, I was hurt. You know, it's like when your little dog, you get in trouble and your little dog has a little paw that hurts, you know, and then they do something bad and they're like, look at my paw. Like, we're going to feel sorry for him, you know. We do that to ourselves, right? Look at my injury. Don't say anything else to me. Just allow it to heal.
It's definitely true there where we do. We get stuck in that space, and I think especially in these times where so many people are hitting very real fears out there that are blocking them. You know, they're looking at it like, am I going to have a house to live in a couple of months, or am I going to have a job next week, or, you know, it's very unpredictable for a lot of people today.
Right. And, yeah, and you know, for those that are more analytical, that want to make sense of things, not just trusting but really knowing in their mind, I always use God. It's natural, but you can say, okay, so what's the worst thing that's going to happen if I lose my house? And what's the best thing that's going to happen if I lose my house?
Mm-hmm.
Because then your body comes into balance to really look at the truth behind what's really going on. And it's not about the house. You know, that's just the outward manifestation. So where inside did you decide the house wasn't worth it? Or where inside did you decide you weren't worth the shelter of your home? And what actions? You know, people want to blame, well, we have this event or that event, and, you know, we have to spend our money here and there. Well, those events were still created from within you somewhere at some level in the unconscious. So most of the time, it's the ones that hit a financial ceiling to say, I can only make this much money, I'm only worth this much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, energy, money's energy, so you can create as much as you want. As much chaos as you can create as much money, believe it or not. Whatever that is for you. But if you're using
and I think there's a lot of guilt that rides with that particular fear these days of people mm-hmm. feeling like, I should be further along than I am. I should be better
yeah.
off than I am. Things like this. And there's a whole set of
yeah.
multiple lessons there. I've got another person in chat, Janelle.
Okay.
The name that I've got in here is A Little Patience, and I'm going to kind of shift their questioning just a little bit here because their questioning is wanting to know how things are going to go with their work. Will I be able to go back to work or will I lose my job? And this kind of comes back to your yes-no checkpoint with some of that, but maybe you can tune into what's happening for them in that area of life that may be blocking them or creating some of these questions or fears? Would that be the
yeah,
right way to...
Yeah, I'm picking up on this isn't their passion. They don't like their job. They like it because it pays bills, but they don't like the work that that they're doing. And so the universe is showing them it's time to move forward, or God, or source, whatever you want to call that. It's time to let go and trust. I keep hearing stop working for others. So, and I know that's a fear. I had to stop working for others. They work for myself too. And we're like, how's that happen? You know, trust that it comes. And the job's not going to be there. I don't see it there. I don't. And but it's only because they've created that. They don't want that job. They want something better for themselves. And as much as they're trying to hold on to this for their paycheck, their truth inside is saying, that's not real. That's not who I came here to be. And letting go of that and just ask yourself, if I could do anything and have fun at it and love it, what would it be? And use your silly creative mind to get there because you'll be amazed at what you love to do and it has nothing to do with what you learned in school or college or what the world told you you need for that next promotion. We're all creative, and I just keep seeing this person's very over-analytical and doesn't trust, so questions everything. So when you're in question, you're in doubt. So change that question to say, what if it's yes, and what if it's no? What's the worst thing that can happen? What's the best thing that can happen? You know, jobs aren't promises. What your gifts are. And you can use your gifts, passion, for success, because that's what you came here to do. If we didn't have schools and education, we'd probably still be bartering, right? Maybe for farmers or whatever. But we would have a system for survival, because there always will be. You come here with survival instincts, but you also come here with a passion to play. And a lot of people lose that. And that's what I see. This is heavy on this person, and it's like their job's their identity, and somebody's taking it from them. It's almost like, oh, don't tell me I'm not this anymore, you know? I was a beauty pageant for 20 years. Don't tell me I'm not the queen anymore. You're more than that, and it's going to be okay because there's like 4 or 5 opportunities around you. You're just not open to the awareness because you're so stuck on the worry of this job. So kind of release that worry to say it is what it is. Put love around it because love doesn't judge. Love that for a moment and say, okay, I love this. I love what's happening right now. What else is going to come in? And I keep hearing for this person, pay attention to the billboards around you because there's very many, there's a lot of signs, there's a lot of signs, awareness coming into you of your passion, and you pass them every day.
And so, this person is mentioning that things are true. You know, they're wanting to move into a different area, and mm-hmm. And I'm also a firm believer that if there's a heavy rooted fear, sometimes we have to ease out of one and into another, mm-hmm. get the other going so that we get that energy and that momentum rolling. And then sometimes that makes it a little easier to let go of what's holding us back. But they've also mentioned here that they hurt their back and they feel that that's what is going to cause their work to get rid of them. So I think there's kind of a two-way street. You'll probably agree with me that mm-hmm. we hurt our back because it creates an out, or it creates a reason for us to leave something that we're not happy with.
Right. I get rigidity. You hurt your back because you were so rigid in your belief at your work that you weren't flexible enough is what I'm seeing. And so your back kind of just collapsed into that. It weakened. You know, when you hold a strong muscle or we hold something really, really tight, we think we're really holding on, you're really just, what? You're just really tensing up that part of you. And so the backbone to me shows your belief system. And for those that have, you know, like lower back issues, you're probably not flexible in your belief system as much in hip issues because whatever's going on in the mind comes in the body. So I just see a lot of rigidity around the job that it had to be done this way, and it just went on overload for this person. And there wasn't enough creativity in that job for that person anyway. It was too mundane.
And these are, again, some great insights where you're helping people understand how these different body parts connect. And this is how intuitive healing works, is by listening to our body, what's happening, what's going on there, and asking those yes-no questions, going through some of those exercises, as you mentioned, and a little patience is saying, yeah, very hard to do labor-wise, and yes, I hate it. So it definitely confirms. And these are the things we need to look at. We get so wrapped up in, should I stay in my job? Should I not stay in my job? Well, do you like it? You know, are you mm-hmm. happy there? Are there other things you're wanting to get into? And these are things that I mention as well. And in my book, too, is the very things you mentioned tonight. What do you love to do? What drives your passion? Because those are the things that will end up taking care of you in the long run. Right. And if you're hating what you're doing, you're going to have your body creating these other issues going on that are then going to put you in a state that you want to be in even less.
Right. I always say go back to what you played in childhood. It's probably pretty true. So whatever you played in your room or with others or whatever you were, the doctor, the nurse, the Indian, the teacher, you know, whatever you played as a child, pretty close to your passion most of the time because it's so natural to you. You just played that because that's what you knew. And for those of you who believe in spirit guides and angels, you know, I used to, I look back and I'm like, oh, I used to like make everybody sit down in class, or I remember making my brother get saved every day. You know, oh, we're going to play church today, or we're going to play this today. It was either school or church. And that's what I do today. I teach. So, you know, look back, as much as we want to think that we're in adulthood or whatever they want to call that, go back to your childlike tendencies and life becomes fun again. And it doesn't mean you're irresponsible, because if you look at back when you were 6 or 7, you're pretty responsible for what you knew. So don't think you wouldn't be responsible for what you know now. That's the world telling you that you need to act this way to be responsible and you need to do this to be responsible. I say play with it. Play with it, make it play. I go to work. I don't usually say I go to work. I say I go to my office to play, and I'm going to see what happens today. And that's pretty trusting for a lot of people because they want to know a week ago what they're going to do today, you know?
Right.
I don't live there. That's fear-based. So I just wake up and say thank you for this day, and let's see what happens. And the more you do that, the more you let go of outcome and let go of worry because you trust that what you've created is coming. And it's there, and if that's law of attraction or manifestation, whatever you want to call that, it's your energies, whatever's going on in your inside world is going to match because like attracts like. So if you're doing all this negative thinking, you're probably going to have a lot of negativity in your life because like attracts like. If you're moving towards positive, you're going to start seeing shifts come more positive, more opportunities, and more awareness of positive things because, again, like attracts like.
And these are such great points of bringing up, and there's actually a lot of thoughts out there that whatever you were doing at the age of 4 or 5 is really the true tale of what you should be doing in life. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to think back and to take the time to just think back on some of those things. What were we doing? What was the keys that we enjoyed doing so much, and you bring up the factor of play and bringing play into whatever you're doing. This is gigantic because most people, especially as they become adults, are not playing. They're not enjoying and taking what they have to do and making it play.
Mm-hmm.
Because here again, society is programmed so much that says, oh, you can't enjoy your work. You can't have fun. You know, you're goofing off or you're not taking things seriously if you're having fun at what you're doing. And that's that corporate structure that says that, right?
Yeah. And
of course, I was always, that's probably what got me kicked out of some of the corporate structures, actually. Because I was playing too much, having too much fun at work, instigating things, I don't know.
It's so true because, you know, the ones that aren't playing, they're probably pushing against energy. If you're trying to make something happen, you're pushing energy, and energy will push back at you. Just think of a door when you go to a gas station and you push the door to go in, right? Doesn't the door come back? Doesn't it push back at you? Isn't there a resistance? So if you're pushing, like I see so many people, especially in coaching and in counseling, and that's why I created that holistic intuitive program because they think if they build their email list or they think if they have this many clients or, like, they're going to make this happen. You know what? Trust makes it happen because the energy's there. It's not what you're physically doing. That just adds to the energy. But if you're out of fear-based or scarcity that you don't have enough clients and I'm going to push to do this program because it's going to do this for me or that for me, probably won't. Because the energy you create around it, one, is out of scarcity and need. And that's hard to match in the energy world because your soul doesn't know lack. So where did you learn lack from? Oh, Earth. And the truth is we lack nothing. But if we believe that we do, or we believe we don't have something, your mind's like, okay, I'm not going to give it to you. So mm-hmm. you've got to forward think, and that just brings it into, you know, your unconscious mind doesn't get no, not, and never. So if you're using no, not, and never to describe who you are or what you want, you'll probably get it because it jumps over that word. So if you don't want that kind of car, tell the universe and God what you do want. Tell yourself what you do want because it'll hear, I want that car. It'll skip the no, not, never because it didn't hear it. It didn't know how to process the negative.
Right.
And no possible fear because you created that, but let that fear bucket go and say, what would I want? And most people's wants are out of need. So you've got to, you know, quantum linguistics, if you want to use that. I work a lot with that with clients to say, what's that mean to you? Because what it means to you, and you keep chunking that down. So if you have a want, oh, I want that car. Okay, what's that mean to you? It means I'd have transportation. Okay, what would that give you? Oh, a way to get to work, a way to survive. So there's always an underlying belief there that says, I need this to get that. And that's not true. You need you to get that, whatever that is. So when you bring down your definitions and you find that fear that says the opposite of your belief, then you know you've hit the root. And it's kind of like weeding out the garden, weeding out your mind to say, wow, because a lot of people, you know, you desire things, but if your desire is out of fear, it's probably not going to show up the way you thought or at all, because part of your mind is saying it's not real, it can't happen. The other part says, I want it to happen. How's that going to match? So your verbiage, your language will always match where you are. But go deeper, because we all talk so much at surface level because we want to be politically correct, or we don't want to hurt other people's feelings, and car means how many things to a person with a car, you know? So for me, I go down to the deepest level to say, what's that mean to you? And whether we're doing fear and peace or home to home, you know, people have, I have two homes to buy. Which one do I buy? You can do the same thing. Write it down or do it in your head. What would this one give me? What would this one do for me? Or whatever that is. And it just, it helps align again your values, your words, and just that inner alignment.
Absolutely, it does. And it is, it's a huge thing. And there's usually, we look at the surface thing. Here again, a lot, even with that, we look at the surface thing and say, well, I want to make more money or things like that, and really what we're wanting is, you know, we're wanting to let go of being afraid of everything.
Right.
We're wanting to be in that state of peace, and, you know, if you're in that state of peace, what is that going to give you? And so really getting more and more into the root and just continuing to ask questions until you get into the root. And we didn't really get a chance to cover too much your book, but... Oh. Basically, the book being I'm More Than That, realizing that you don't have to settle. Is that correct? Was the
main theme on the book? Yeah, it's not that you have to settle or you can remove the labels. There's 8 chapters. I've heard it called a live journal. I don't know. I just wrote it. You call it what you want. But you can go back and use it over and over. It's simple. It's in simple terms. But it talks about rejection and acceptance to let you know you have the power to reject things and accept things. And building your unlimited belief system does tell you a little bit about your chakras, very basic, just so you'll know how to start feeling your body. But there's 8 chapters. You can buy it on Amazon or on my website. But it's an opening for no matter where you're at. So if you're the most intuitive person you think, you can still go through the book. And if you don't even know anything about energy or intuitive or whatever, it's a good place to start. And I always say grab a journal book and write in that, because I only have, you know, almost so much space for the questions. So I always get another book out and write, because they'll always change. And you'll notice your growth through that. So that book really does grow with you. And it teaches you to trust you.
That's awesome. And, Janelle, because we're down to just the last.
Yes.
Well, I've got about 2.5 minutes or so for you. Is there anything that you want to sum up, wrap up, way that you want to make sure people contact you? Because you've got a lot of great stuff on your website, a lot of information there for people to go to.
Yeah, you can go to my website, daniellehoff.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter. I won't sign you up. That's your job. and there's a contact form on there, so you can go in or contact me and write me your questions. And I do give 15-minute free consultations by phone or Skype or in person. Well, not usually in person for 15 minutes. And you know what? What I would say is I'm unique, and I bring out the uniqueness in you. So any program that you read on my site and you don't think you're there or whatever, ask me about it, because I'll critique it to what you need. And that's wherever you are in life, because we'll start right where you are.
And this is a great thing, because really anything that's two format, that's where people struggle of them not working. And so being able to get it catered in to the individual client, I think, is such an asset. It's something I do with my work, and I think a lot of people that are really coming from that space of source realize you may have a basic format, but it's going to get catered in to your specific needs and place that you're at. So that's fantastic. I really want to thank you for being with us tonight. I mean,
you
shared some great knowledge and a couple of great little exercises for us to use. And I know that our listeners have been very grateful for having you tune in and share things with them as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And for those of you that kind of tuned in late, we've been talking with Janelle Huff tonight. She's been sharing with us her work on opening all of the senses, including our own intuitive abilities, and her ability to bring healing, motivation, and success to any endeavor. You can learn more about her work through her website, as she mentioned, which is JanelleHuff.com, and that's JanelleHuff.com. And, you know, she's, again, shared some great exercises and things. If you've missed any part of the show, I do suggest that you go back, listen to it in the archives, and catch whatever part that you didn't get with the show there. Now, next week, I have Richard Harvey coming on the show, and we're going to be looking at his work with blending therapy and spirituality to help people release restrictive emotional behavior patterns and to embrace positive opportunities for growth and change. He blends humanistic and transpersonal psychologies with Taoism and Zen. So that's going to be a really interesting show with his work. We're also going to be looking at his book, which is called The Flight of Consciousness, Your Essential Self. And again, my next set of books will be coming out very soon. It's taking me a little bit longer to get them up and running than I had hoped originally. So hang in there with me. They are coming. I'm in the proofreading stages of it. So it's just kind of down to getting the last few touches put in here. Those will be available soon, like I said, for purchase. They'll be available as both ebook and paperback versions on that. And those books are going to be a look at how to find and develop a relationship with someone that will last a lifetime with you. It is a look at how we all take on masculine and feminine energy roles, no matter what sex we're born into. So I think this is going to be really useful for a lot of people. And again, you can stay on top of the work that I'm doing. Every week I put out a newsletter, and if you're interested in that, you can go to my website at JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1, that's the number 1.com. Also, for signing up on the newsletter, you get the Genesis Clearing Statement. I provide a written version as well as 3 audio versions on that for you, so that's really great. Also on the website is video tips. I just released a new video tip within the last week, so that's another great place to go in. Check that out. It's got just some great useful things for working past different things in your life that are very valuable. You've also got my blog on the website, which you can check out. Products that can be purchased right now for the rest of the month of April. I've got my current books that are already out discounted, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. And this is just a preliminary to give you a chance to pick those up if you haven't already and to get used to my work before the other books come out. And what I'm doing is during this month, I'm offering the paperback versions for only $3.99. Regularly, they're $12.99. And the ebook version for only $1.99, and it's regularly $9.99. So if you just go right onto the homepage there, it's got the promo codes and the links, and it can get you right in there to where you can make those purchases for it. And again, you'll also find monthly specials, show archives on there, YouTube video tips, my blog. And I also want to remind you that we have several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquer, who is a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird, walking on the sidewalk, using his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck, a deck that he created. Tuesday nights, we have Mary Phelan. I think she's been switching a little bit, so you might have to follow up with the time for her show. But it's Inner Wisdom, and she does some great insights on that show as well. Wednesday nights, we have our flagship show, and that is hosted by Daniel and Janice, and that is the main flagship show, which is called Main Street Universe. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve into Activating Compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's available at the same link in our archives. And I'm going to be leaving you tonight with a song that's called Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shem Shai. Just want to mention thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week right here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon.
Over and over, life is your lover.